These things are written in the Bible for the purpose of instruction to help us to know where the propensity, the tendencies, the natural bend is in the tree so that you have an idea. If I know that this is what the Lord says, what the Bible says my natural tendency is, I can protect against it. It's not meant to demean or belittle or put anybody down. Now, you're going to find as I go through these passages, and I'm going to get it right from the Bible. I'm not going to give you opinions or whatever else it might be, and I'm not going to give you Dr. Phil or Dr. Spock or Dr. Bottle Stopper or anybody else like that. I'm not going to give you modern theology. But what you're going to find is that what the biblical idea of where a woman is supposed to be is entirely different than the world's view. And listen, you've got to understand this, ladies, right off of Jump Street. When it started in Genesis chapter 3, the devil came at Adam through the woman. And what the Lord has to have to try to do is to prepare you to realize that the attacks are going to be greater on you sometimes than they are on the men. And that's to try to destroy not just his church, but also the family. So you want to pay real close attention, because whether you want to believe it or not, you are a target for the devil. And there's some specifics that he mentioned. All right, he said in verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Now would be a good time to put that into practice. He says that right before verse 9. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Because whenever you deal with a woman about outward appearance, you'd rather deal with a cat with no climbing gear. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Got to trust the Lord and plow on through. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. There's two parts to that. We'll get to it in a second. But to be in... How come only the men said that? But to be in what?
Silence.
Now, he's starting to bring something to your attention, ma'am. And that is that the tendency that you're going to find throughout the Bible is that at times you're going to talk more than the Lord would have you to talk. You'll talk it to death. Don't give me bad looks. I'll call Brother Sam up here and let him do a puppet show. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. So that makes you the second born. You came from Adam's rib. He was born first. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. That means if you don't have any children, you can't be saved. That's what modern commentaries say. That's ridiculous. The saved there has nothing to do with being saved, and you won't die in childbirth. I've known women that have died and their children have lived. It has nothing to do with the salvation of your soul. It has to do with being saved from deception. You'll be saved, but there's a contingency clause. If they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Notice, she shall be saved if they. So there's another thing he's going to tell you there about women. All right, Brother Larry, I'll let you bathe it in prayer and we'll get started. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, the world would tell you how you look on the outside is important. Even independent Bible believers or even people from other denominations would say that how you look on the outside is important. Why does the Lord address that with the women and not the men? The reason is because women will have a natural tendency to try to attract attention to themselves. It's more than just the apparel. It's more than showing your figure. It's doing something to draw attention to yourself, grabbing the spotlight like we talked about this morning, wanting to be in charge, wanting to be the person that gets the recognition or the appreciation. Modern theology nowadays promotes the women to be over the man. You'll deal with that here in just a minute. Don't get hung up in all the little things that he says there. He's not talking about that you can't braid your hair. He doesn't mean that you can't wear gold or a diamond ring or something like that. It's that oftentimes what a woman will do is she will wear a diamond ring, and when it happens to be her 25th wedding anniversary and it's big enough to choke a horse, then all of a sudden she gets that big ring because she's saying, it means something more to me than just a personal deal. It attracts attention to her, and she'll flash it. She'll have a tendency to do that. Now, again, I'm sure that this group here is not that way, but you should be aware of those things. Broidered hair, braids in your hair, he's not talking about. He's saying that the inside is more important than the outside. One of the things that you want to pay attention to is most women dress, and there's a reason why they dress. It's to attract attention. You probably got your husband's attention that way. And so what happens is our young girls get trained that if you have a figure, you show off certain parts of the figure to attract attention. Well, trust me when I tell you, you can wear a burlap sack. That man's always going to look at you. He'll be thinking about what's going on under the burlap sack. You don't have to expose yourself to do that. But when you expose yourself, ladies, older ladies, if you listen to me, you're teaching the younger girls, especially those who may not be developed to that point yet, you're teaching them that your value is directly equated with how you look on the outside. What color your hair is, what color your eyes are, your physique, those kinds of things, and then your clothing on the outside. So you want to be very careful to understand that the first thing that a woman will have a tendency to do is to try to get attention. And in the same passage where he talks about the outward dress, he also says shamefacedness. That doesn't mean you walk around like your face is so long you can eat ice cream out of a butter churn. That just simply means I don't act in a way with my face as to try to draw attention to myself. That I'm smiling or that I'm winking, and I'm not going to take you over to Proverbs where he talks about the woman who catches the man with her eyes. He winks, she winks at him, and she talks to him and bats her eyes and has a way of being able to use her face for facial expressions. Now, moms, you have a real good advantage there. I've seen some of you do it, and you're getting to be real pros at it. I recognize it because my mother was a pro at it. My mom would clear her throat, and all three of us kids would look over wherever my mom was sitting, and then you'd get that. And that meant, and you knew which one she was looking at. You knew what one was David and what one was Paul and what one was Melody. There were too many of them that were David. I think she meant Paul and got her signals messed up, still third, you know, but... My mom was a pro at clearing her throat. Everybody in that big, gigantic church full of people, everybody in that church knew one of them preacher's kids is in trouble now. That meant mom had just seen something that we did, had gotten onto it with a look, and if that didn't change, Dad would either call us down from the pulpit or on the way to the house, he'd say, "I'll meet you in the bedroom, boy." It wasn't none of the, you know, let's sit down and talk about it, have a come to Jesus meeting. It was, your mama got on to you. You didn't tighten up when she told you to tighten up. So that it's all over and done with. I'm not going to let you appeal to a higher court. I'm going to go ahead and ratify your appeal is no good. I'm not going to overturn the lower court's decision. If she saw fit, well, my mom, you didn't cut up in church. My dad, you didn't cut up in church. It wasn't modern day stuff. I mean, I couldn't even read the bulletin in church. But what did she do? She controlled with your face. What he's saying there is, ma'am, is that oftentimes your face is a billboard, and more so your face than a man's face, because women, they look at your face and they can tell if you got the pouts or the outs. You're mad, you're upset, you're angry. You can say so much by just going. And that person's like, and here's the out. Oh, well, I didn't really mean anything by that. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You younger guys here that are, you know, thinking about young ladies and wanting to, if a young lady looks at you and you say, "Would you like to have coffee?" And she looks away and then she looks down, you don't want somebody going with you for pity coffee. Pity coffee is, I have nowhere else to go and nowhere else to be, and I feel really sorry for you. You look like a stray dog somebody brought in. So I'm going to go ahead and have that with you, but don't read nothing into it. So you'll sit down there. But if she looks at you and goes, "Well, I'm busy." That look is, I am not any more interested in you than the billy goat. And I can't even imagine why it is you'd even be trying to think I am. I'm not interested. You can tell a lot by how they look. Can't you tell, gentlemen, a lot by how your wife looks when you get in the car? "Hey, baby, how you doing?" Am I telling the truth? He's talking about public appearance now. Shamefacedness is simply that you have to be aware that your face oftentimes says a lot. And you're in a very sensitive society. Sometimes all you have to do is raise your eyebrows. Some of you are really good at that. You're like, I mean, I see it happening to you. That shamefacedness means you know what you're doing. You're letting your opinion be known without having to say anything. Ladies, you have to be aware of that. Men do pay attention to your face, whether you want to believe it or not. That's why it doesn't hurt to put a little paint on the barn every now and then. You say, well, but the Bible says, or gold or pearls or costly array. No, it's to the point that you wear gold or pearls or costly array that it overwhelms what it's being put on. You're wearing all that stuff so everybody can see it. I remember a church where I was at one time. You know, the problem is when you do dress codes, you know, you tell them about dresses and they wear skirts like I mentioned this morning. And then you talk about the material. It looks like a stinking wetsuit stretched over a pig or something like that. Elephant wearing a diaper or something. I don't know. It's odd, man. You're like one of those dry cleaning bags that had all the air sucked out of it. And, you know, and it's like latex. It like squeaks, you know, when they're, you know what I'm talking about. I see it in the airport all the time. And so, you know, and then all of a sudden, she would always make sure that the lady sitting beside her could see the bottom of her shoe. Because on the bottom of her shoe was Jimmy Choo or you know, Fendi or Louis Vuitton. I don't care if you got all that. If you can afford it, good, enjoy the best of the best. But you usually will buy a purse or shoes to get the attention of the other women. You ain't buying it for men. Men could care less if you carry a Publix bag with you. Now, am I telling the truth, ladies? I go through the airport. I watch. I see people. They don't even look at me, man. They look at, there's a lady over here, and they'll look at her. They'll look at her necklace, then they'll look at her purse, and then they're going to look down to see if her shoes matches her purse. And then I watch them go, psst. They don't say anything. They're just like, psst. That's like, oh, yeah, please. But So when you say in gold or pearls or costly array, it's that which is drawing attention to yourself. Doesn't mean if your husband finally gets off his rear end and gets you something really nice for a change instead of something from Walmart. Ladies, you can amen me now, even though you got a sock stuck in your throat. If he goes and gets you something really nice, a nice piece of jewelry or whatever, don't dismiss that. Go, no, I don't want that. People will be looking at me. You know what you can say? My husband got me that. And that's okay to do that. But most times when you get that kind of expensive stuff, it's done to say, boy, I've arrived. You say, you don't know what you're talking about. I know a lot about it. I've watched people walk into churches with everything on and wearing $3,000 and $4,000 worth of stuff. And it's all to say, well, we're doing pretty good. It's a tendency. Don't get nervous. I don't care if you got it. I don't care if you got a boatload of it. I don't care if you drive a cotton picking Bentley. It don't make no difference to me. It's the motive behind why you're doing what you're doing. That's the thing. You probably don't wear the same thing in the garden. I hope not. I'm waiting to see the day that they start putting out Fendi and Louis Vuitton fishing tackle boxes. They give a man a fishing tackle box, and it's probably covered in camo with the exception of all the rust on it, and it's a stainless steel thing because he'll tear up a ball bearing. He just wants something to put his stuff in, so he doesn't care. Now, fellas, you got to balance this along the way. You go out and spend all that money on camo and rifles and shotguns and fishing rods and boats and fancy cars with big mutters and all that stuff. Don't be getting on your wife when she goes out and spends a few $100 on a Fendi. It's the same thing, because the only reason you got that is to let all the boys know you've arrived and you got the latest toys. Now, there's a few of you, they're experts good enough to be able to justify, you know, spending some money like that. But don't think that what I'm telling you is that it's all against the women. But we just happen to be on the passage of women. You say, why? You have that natural tendency to draw attention to yourself by how you look and by what you wear. All right, come on down. Let's get off of that as quick as we can. Look, if you will, please. The first thing is that you'll attract attention to yourself. The second thing is but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, indicating that the way you walk, the way you talk, the way that you dress, the attitude your spirit has, being in sobriety and being serious-minded, it says a lot about you no matter what you're wearing. And he said, if you're going to be claim to be a woman of God or a godly woman, then your walk should match your talk. You say, well, I think I'm better than most people. But are you where the Lord would have you to be? That which becometh godliness. Come over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Doesn't mean that you're ugly as a mud fence and that's spiritual. Doesn't mean your lack of things makes you spiritual. That doesn't make you spiritual. As a matter of fact, you have to be more spiritual to handle having things than you do without, because you have to get the right balance. I've seen people give when they don't have a dime on a dollar hardly, but then when they start making money, they quit giving. You say, why? Money ruins them. So you have to be able to handle that. 1 Peter chapter number 3, along the same lines. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. If any obey not the word, they without the word. We're in verse 1. Be won by the conversation of the wife. I'll show you that that's not your speech. It has to do with your actions. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be. Here it is. Outward adorning, plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, and putting on out of apparel. It's the same thing he just said in Timothy. Why does he bring it up again? That's a natural tendency of the woman. So you want to guard against those things. Now let's see if we can figure out what the conversation is. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of... Are you with me, ladies? Yes. Even the ornament of what? Isn't that a hard thing? Which is in the sight of God? What? Not in the sight of the world. You know what the world says? I'm a strong woman. That means you're a mad woman. That means you're an angry woman. That means you're upset. You're covering it up and, you know, I'm a strong, independent woman and all that. That means you're just mad. That doesn't mean anything. Strength is being able to do what God said. You know what he said? The same thing in 1 Peter chapter number 3. You got a husband that's not living right? He said, don't let it be how you're dressing and what you're doing. He said, let it be the meek and let it be the inward man. Let it be the meek and quiet spirit that gets to them. How are we doing so far, ladies? I see a whole lot of them now. They have to get up and leave now because it's like, well, I got to go. I'm just kidding. I had to say that because I knew you could take it. But they just went from a couple hundred on the thing there. Okay, we're done with this guy. All right, back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, what becomes godliness? I don't even think I have to tell you. If you were standing in front of the mirror and say, Lord, is this okay? You'd get your answer. Now, he's also making the point that you can be clothed from head to toe and nothing but your eyes popping out, but if your attitude is bad, it's the same as you wearing the costly array and the gold and the pearls. Because your attitude is bad, your attitude is causing all the attention to be drawn to you. You ever dealt with kids much at all, where you have one kid that's a brat all the time and no matter what they do, they're going to be cutting up until everybody in the class is paying attention to them? You ever been around that? That's a real blessing, especially if you've got a kid like that at camp. That's one of those ones you want to have a blanket party, but you can't. You want to sew them up in a pillowcase, but you can't. You want to go dip them in the river eight times and pull them out seven, but you can't. And you're thinking, I know why the parents sent this kid to camp. Because they can't deal with this all the time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to that, a woman has a tendency to do that. If she feels left out, she feels insecure, she feels unloved and uncared for, then sometimes she'll kick up a fuss because she's looking for attention. That's in the passage. There's other ways to get attention than dressing like somebody that's for sale. Enough said. You know what you're doing when you're dressing that way. And so does your husband or your father. All right, come on down, if you will, verse number 11. Here's the second thing. Verse number 11, the Bible says, let the woman learn in silence with all what? They refuse to submit if it involves their conduct. Let them learn, the Bible says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now, it's harder for you than it was to go back 50 years. You say, why? A lot of you women are smarter than us men. That's a true story. A lot of you women have more sense than men do in a lot of areas. That's why you want to be careful if you're young about who you pick up. Try to get somebody smarter than you. You say, why? Because after the, you know, Mr. Whoever's famous nowadays or whatever, and all the, you know, the six-pack turns to a beer keg or whatever it might be, and he looks like Humpty Dumpty, a boiled egg with two toothpicks tucked in him, and, you know, he ain't got all that fuzzy hair no more and all that kind of stuff, and now all of a sudden you're living with this guy who smells and he's old and... And he can't even stimulate you with his brain, you know. Hey, how you doing? You know, he's got two teeth in his head. I will say this, if you only have two teeth, they do look better together than everywhere else. So have a little bit of unity if you can. That's pretty funny. They might call you Bugs Bunny, but who cares? At least, you know. At least they won't be trying to figure out, I bet that guy never eats a ear of corn in his life. Boy, that'd be terrible. But here's one of the things he says that a woman struggles with. The hardest thing in the woman, come to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. The hardest thing next to your drawing attention to yourself, next to your attitude, is the fact that it's hard for you to submit to men that are more stupid than you are. They're more ignorant than you are. You ever seen a man? He'll get a treadmill. He'll get, hey, baby, I'm going to start working out, baby. I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to get back in my days, you know. I'm going to get me a treadmill. I'm going to start running every day. I mean, you could go out and pound the pavement, but you need to be in the air conditioning, you know, especially when you get old. You know, we're going to get it so we can exercise, but we don't want to sweat without exercise, right? That wouldn't have gone in my day. But at any rate, I thought about calling up some of my friends and say, could you train me for a few months and try to get me back in shape? But I thought they'd be like, I'd rather crown Mount Everest and try to get you back in shape, old man. But here's the thing. You get that, and then it comes in. Well, it's just a treadmill. What's the big deal? There ain't nothing to it. You stick it in the wall, it ought to be working. The next thing you know, the thing's smoking. You got all these screws left over. The thing falls apart. You wind up in the hospital, a broken arm and a busted nose, and your wife's standing there coming to visit you at the hospital holding the instructions. When all else fails, honey, next time read the instructions. You know what a woman will tend to do? A woman will tend to tell you how to do everything. Yes, sir. I'm going to trip your trigger before long. I got six more verses to do it in. You know what a woman will do? She'll ask you to do something, then she'll come in and tell you how to do it. That's her telling you how she wants it done. Well, sometimes you know what you feel like saying? Just do it yourself. But unfortunately, sometimes she's right. That's the worst thing. You go ahead and do it your way, and then it falls apart. And then she doesn't have to say, I told you so. It's written all over her face. Right? Are you in Genesis chapter number 3? Let me get over there. I'm all the way back here in Timothy. Let's see. That'll be the first book in the Old Testament. If you're still having a problem finding it, come on down here. We'll pray for you. Been a long time since you read your Bible. Genesis chapter number 3. And let's see, pick it up here, verse number, make it 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is after the fall. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. You're going to be married. And thy conception. Two different things. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to what? To what? And he shall have thee. No, he said, and he shall rule. You'd like an up-to-date version on that? That can't be right. No other Bible says that. The same Bible that changes that right there also changes that it's okay to have women preachers. You, what are you doing? You're undermining the family, sir. Because you're undermining God's order of things. Now, I realize what I'm putting forth before you doesn't appear to most people to be a very successful woman. But you have to decide whether or not you want to be God's woman. If you want to be God's woman, your standards are different than the world's standards. It doesn't mean you can't be a professional. It doesn't mean you can't make money. It doesn't mean you can't get out in the world and do what you need to do. That doesn't mean anything to do with that. Now we're talking about the bonds of matrimony, but we're also talking about a tendency is you don't like to take orders. And it isn't just for men. But in the context here, it's men. Come to verse number 10, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Let the woman learn with all silence and subjection. It's very, very difficult for you to be quiet and do what you're told to do without offering your opinion. That's hard to do. And the older you get, the more stubborn you get with it. You younger women dealing with older women, you got to know that about them. They think they're right, and they always will think they're right. And sometimes they are, and sometimes you just have to be gracious in dealing with them. And don't forget, you'll be old one day unless a rapture happens. And whatever you're going through right now, you're going to put somebody else through later on because you're going to be wearing the same shoes. Now notice what happens. All right, so number one, you attract attention by how you dress or the outward appearance. Number two, verse 11, you refuse to submit, especially if it involves your conduct. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Right? Verse number 10 has to do with conduct. Would you agree? Verse number 11, you have to learn to what? Silence, keep my mouth shut and do what I'm told to do. Girls, listen to me. Young girls, you're in Brother Sam's and Brother Woodard and Josh's class. If mama and daddy tell you not wearing that, your job is to learn in silence with all subjection. Mama says you're not wearing that. Yes, ma'am, I'm changing clothes. The problem will never be with the guys. They won't come out in a Speedo and say, I'm ready to go to work. That's not too graphic, is it? Pretty ugly, though. It's not too graphic. But as much as you think that's silly, then you think about coming out in a bikini and you think, are shorty shorts? Are bicycle shorts? Well, you know, everybody, see where you are with that right now? But preacher, I don't want to look like a freak. Yeah, and all those guys coming to watch you play ball and watch you to play soccer and watch you play softball and watch you play all your other athletic, they're there to see your athletic prowess on the field or the court or whatever it might be. No, they in there watching how tight your shorts are. Amen. Come on, man, you can help me a little bit. Sit there like a stinking stewed prune. Now, what I'm telling you is that's up to you. So as much as you wouldn't want to see the guys that way, why is it okay for you? You know, wear clothes a little too tight. Yeah, you loved me till about 1 minute ago. And now you're like, preacher yoga pants are okay. Okay. You just well go see Brother Larry and go up there to his shop and tell him to get a can of spray paint and just stand there and let him paint you. There's only just a micron or two difference in what you're wearing and what he could put on you with paint. Some of you, he could paint you with a thicker milligram of or a millimeter of paint than you wear in them britches. You're good and mad at me now. The tendency won't be for the boy to do that unless he's a little on the swishy side. That's what you'll see. You'll see the guy that he's just got this just I got to have all these colors and I got to get all this attention and I like pastels and they look so nice. You got to be a big man to wear pastels. But my wife like okay. And so the boys won't tend to do that. But girls, like right now, y'all are like, you're mad. You say, preacher, that's just old-fashioned. Oh, I'm giving you Bible. Amen. Is that what a godly woman would wear? Ask you a question. Would you wear it in the presence of Jesus? He's over for dinner, you know. You're just going to watch a movie and have some popcorn, right? Well, that's different. Well, why would you wear it in public? I'm not saying you dress the same at home that you do here, but as you start growing up, girls, daddy's going to be saying to you, you ain't wearing that at home no more. Why? You ain't no little squirt. Well, I'm home. I know, and so's daddy. So go change. You say you're just hyper, okay, well, whatever. I just happen to know a little bit about that. You have to take it on good order. All right, number three. You'll have a tendency to talk back or to argue with any authority. Verse 12, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Your tendency is to hear your point made, to hear your point known. Your tendency is to argue. It's to open your mouth before you listen. I'm not saying that to be crude now. The Bible said if you're going to have a man that's out of order, he's being a real jerk. You know what the Bible says? Let the woman learn to be in meek and a quiet spirit. Why? Because God likes that. Why doesn't he say that to the man? He doesn't say that to the man. Because a man's natural tendency is, and it's not right either, is to get mad and hit something or to go into his little stinking cave. He'll go off and be by himself. That's man's tendency. He doesn't pick up the phone and text his buddy. He doesn't pick up the phone and call and grab him some cocoa and a bathrobe and sit on the couch and watch as the stomach pumps and the world yearns and type back and forth of how he feels about something like that and how he just, and then read himself into every movie on the Hallmark Channel of, you know, oh, if he really loved me, he would romance me this way. And the tendency is to overtalk it. It's to buck authority. It's in you. The authority that God gave to Adam was given to Eve, and Eve would have been perfectly fine, but the devil said, why are you listening to him? The problem was authority. You should listen to me. Don't listen to God. Well, who's God to tell you what to do? That's the tendency. That's where the problem comes in. If the Bible's right, then I believe the Bible to be right. The tendency will be to learn and be in quiet, in all subjection, with all gravity, and then not to teach or usurp authority over the man. That means that there are certain times, unless you're given the authority in the sense of a business setting, that you're not supposed to try to take the position of authority in the household. A problem there in verse number 12 is that you have a problem with authority. You will always have that problem. So you just guard against it. You just recognize that, and that way you can throw up some barriers along the way. All right, so you refuse submission. If it involves your conduct, you'll have a tendency to argue or talk back with authority or to be heard. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 14. How are we doing so far? Verse number 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You'll have a tendency to get depressed and to complain, and you'll have a tendency, especially when bearing children, but you'll have a tendency to listen to other voices like Eve did in Genesis chapter number 3 in moments of depression. And women, I hate to tell you this, but depression's a real thing. In the Bible, he uses Elijah and he uses Job and he uses Moses and a couple other men to show you, even the Apostle Paul, depression's a real thing. Don't ignore it. Don't act like it doesn't exist and don't think you're hyper-spiritual if you walk around. I don't feel good. I feel depressed. Good. Go see somebody. You say, who? I don't know who to tell you to go see. I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, don't ignore that. You know, it could be everything from hormones to living with a bad husband. I don't have any idea. But pressure is real. But here's the thing I want you to get. Just because you get depressed is not the problem. It's when you get depressed, you will tend to listen to other voices. Come back again to Genesis 3, and I'll show that to you. You say, well, I would never do that. Well, if the Bible's right, you will. The Bible says that you'll have that tendency to start listening to other things because you're looking for vindication. You'll have a tendency to be vindictive. Look in Genesis chapter number 3. I don't know what Eve's missing in the passage, but she's missing something. If you watch too much television and too much internet and too much social media, you'll start comparing yourself to other women and you'll think your husband's selling you short because he's working 12 or 15 hours a day trying to make a living and trying to do things other than extraordinary things. I believe in giving and I believe in paying your bills. I think it's right to pay your bills to have a good testimony. And so, but you should be given to things of what God would have you to do as far as the church is concerned. Well, preacher, I'm trying to pay my bills. That doesn't mean you keep incurring bills. At some point, you have to stop the madness. At some point, you have to say, you know what? Somebody's got to pay for lights and for loudmouth up there, and somebody has to pay for toilets and pay for camp and pay for missionaries and pay for other stuff like that. But preacher, I'm just continuing to pay my bills, and I got a bigger house, and I got a bigger car, and I got a boat, and I got a cabin, and I got this, and I got that. At some point, you have to stop and go, wait a minute, I got to put God first in this thing. Now, I'm not for holding you in bondage to that. You're new to church and stuff like that. I'm not after your wallet. But there's a principle of giving of yourself and realizing sometimes you ain't ready to have a bass boat, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be throwing something in the plate. Or not. Do what you want to do. But in the Bible, ladies, just because you get depressed, don't get down on yourself. I know men that get depressed. I'm dealing with a half a dozen of them right now. And if I were to tell you who they were, you'd be like, what are they depressed about? They got everything. Life sometimes throws you things. No matter how much you have, you can't get any peace. You can't get any rest and you can't get out of the hole. Amen. You feel like a stinking hog stuck down in the hole. And all you're doing, the more you waller, the deeper stuck you get. Amen. You say, what are you telling them? I'm trying to help them along the way. But ma'am, when you get that way, because you get disgruntled like Eve did, or she would not have fallen for the temptation. Eve thought God was holding something back from her. Mm-hmm. So the devil took advantage of that. Now, you can run that husband of yours into the dirt by always demanding more. Because the reason you want more is you know some girlfriend of yours that has more. And so now, honey, if you really love me, you know, Mr. and Miss So-and-so, it ain't the man keeping up with the Joneses that often. It's more so the woman keeping up with the Joneses. It's a status symbol, if the Bible's right. That doesn't mean, men, that you have to live in a house with an outhouse. Get some indoor plumbing and put some air conditioning in and treat that girl like a queen and she might treat you better. Yeah, I'm serious. What do you think Bathsheba wore when she was walking around the house? Why, she had jewels made for her all the time. She had the finest of linen. She had all the other stuff. Why? She's the king's wife in spite of everything. Of course, the problem with Bathsheba is that Bathsheba comes up there and the only thing people remember her for is she's the wife of Uriah. Sometimes it's like that. You can live in the palace and you can't escape your past. But David's down there bawling and squalling and crying over the kid. And when the Lord tells him the kid's going to die, David gets up, pronounces a benediction over it, and washes his face and hands and goes and sits down to dinner. And before long, he's at the church house praising the Lord. He ain't worried about it. And she's still hung up there worrying about something that happened in the past. You say, why? Ladies, let me tell you something about men. They pick up and move on. That's one of the things that'll irritate the stew out of you. You have an argument. They're like, okay, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. What's for dinner? And you're kind of like, and about a week later, you're still mad. And now what makes it worse is you're mad because he's not still thinking about it. No. Listen, that man is not going to, he's not one of these kind of men that if he's a man at all, he doesn't come around this way and you smell somebody's cologne on a napkin or something. And you're thinking, oh, I remember him and what he meant to me and how much, a man don't go around doing that. Remember your perfume. But you women, that trips your trigger. Starts that mind running. And you get to hoping and hoping that maybe possibly it might be the Harlequin romance that you've always read about. And you live in a fantasy world. And you say, where's he? Down the road. You wait too long. You know what that man will do? See you later. I got to go. There ain't too many of them going to be like what's-his-face over there in the Old Testament that's bawling and squalling after David's first wife that Saul gave her away. I'll think of her name in a minute here. But he's running along there behind her and, you know, quit your crying. Most men aren't that way. They move on. You tend to camp out. That's a dangerous place. You say, why? Well, the devil will walk into you, Genesis 3. What is she missing? I'm not sure. The serpent, more subtle, verse number 1, than any beast of the field, the Lord God made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? Well, you have to wonder, why would he ask her that if she wasn't looking at that? What she's looking at is something that she doesn't have. And she must be upset that she doesn't have it. So the devil says, I can provide that for you. And guess what happens? Eve, being deceived, sinned, was in the transgression. You say, why? Adam wasn't deceived. Adam died for her. He wanted her to not die alone. Come back over to 1 Timothy. We're almost done. This isn't an all-inclusive, full-blown study on women. I'm not an expert on women. I can show you what I know about women. Etc., etc., etc. You say, why? You dwell with a woman according to knowledge. And there's certain attributes I'm giving you that are common to every one of you, but then every one of you is different as a snowflake. There have been things that have happened in your life that has shaped you to be the woman that you are, and as a result of those things, it has had an effect on your personality. These are certain things that the Lord will tell you that are common to all the women, but there may be things that I mentioned to you you have no problem with at all. I've known some good women. I've known them for years. I've never known one time Mama Utley to buck Brother Bobby. So I don't think she has any problem whatsoever with usurping authority. I've never known her to get in the pulpit and want to preach a sermon. I've never known her one time not to sit there. 90% of the time sitting at the table, he'll be talking. She doesn't say two words unless you engage her in a conversation. That's not normal. Normally, if people are sitting there together, it'll be the women talking. My mom, I don't remember my mom. I remember my mom, but I don't remember my mom when my dad was alive, all the years alive. I don't remember my mom and dad having any knockdown, drag-out arguments, fusses, fightings, complaining. I don't remember them talking about church members. I don't remember them talking about the church. I don't remember them mentioning anything about what the church was or wasn't paying them. I don't remember any of that. I remember walking in my dad's office one time and I saw him have a letter in his hand and he put the letter down. He said, "What do you need, bud?" And I saw tears running down his face. And I said, "Dad, what's the matter?" And he said, "Nothing, son. What's going on? What do you need?" And I said, "Well, why are you crying, Dad?" And he said, "Oh, some lady wrote a pretty nasty letter here about the way I sat on the pulpit and the way I combed my hair and that I wore a particular color suit on Easter." He wore a white suit one time on Easter. Back in the day, back in the 60s and 70s, that was a big thing. He wore a white suit, and the lady was just thought it was so unbecoming of the pastor of the First Baptist Church to wear a white suit. In the letter, she said he looked like the Easter Bunny. Now, that church at that time was bumping 2,500, 3,000 people. And he's got the one that upset him. It bothered him. And I remember that. I was still a young buck. Of course, I'd be ready to go say something to her, and he never said a word, to my knowledge, never said anything about it, but I know it bothered him. But other than that, I don't remember a single incident where my dad, even when he got ready to leave and went into evangelism, I don't remember him saying, "I'm mad about this and mad about that." I don't remember any of that stuff. My mom was never that way. As a matter of fact, you know what was said about my mom? I think she was a good woman. Now, I'm prejudiced toward my mom. I'm just telling you. But you know what was said about my mom? I don't think if she found good about or bad about the devil, that she'd say anything about it. She's always trying to find good about the devil. That's what's said about my mom. What a testimony. She'd find good about the devil. That means I'm not looking for bad in people. Is that your testimony, ma'am? According to this, your tendency is you'll look for negative, bad things about people so that it'll lift you up and exalt you at their expense. If the Bible's right. Genesis chapter number 3, I showed you over here where Eve goes over there and apparently she's looking at the tree and the Lord said, "You can't have the tree." Eve's problem's authority. Eve's problem is, "You're not going to tell me what to do." You know what the devil came in? He said, "You're right, baby, I'm with you. I'll give you what you want." He won't. You know why? He doesn't want to see you venerated, lifted up, and exalted. He doesn't want to see you get what's coming to you. I'm in agreement with you. I've been eating these things all the time. I ain't never died. I'm doing great. The problem is he don't want you to be like gods. Attention. Attraction. Appreciation. Recognition. Lifted up. See? That's a natural tendency. You say, why? Part of the reason you don't get you're not entitled to that unless the Lord does it, ma'am, is because of what Eve did in the garden. It's just part of who you are. Let me hurry along here. Back to 1 Timothy. Now he says this, giving you the things that are going on. You have a tendency to talk back. You have a tendency to get depressed. You have a tendency in verse number 14 to be deceived by Satan. And then here comes the coup de grace. Here comes the icing on the cake, the bowl on the passage. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Here's the big if. People say, well, what's the big if? If a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his hind end when he hopped. That's the big if. The big if is, ma'am, if they continue in faith, meaning the woman in childbearing has a tendency to get deceived by the devil while she's going through difficult times, and the woman's tendency is to get independent. Because the Bible said she shall be saved from what? The deception. If they, meaning she has to rely on her husband to help her pray through that. But the hard thing to do is to admit I got to have my husband to get through it. The tendency, ma'am, you'll have to be is to be overly independent, to refuse help from other people, even if it costs them their lives. I don't need no help. That's the tendency. In the passage there, if they continue, what does that mean? I got to go to my husband and I have to say, "Honey, I need some help with this because some things are getting bad. Can you pray for me?" You know how hard it is for most women to ask their husband to pray for them? You know a tragedy? How many times have you prayed for your wife? I mean, prayed for. I mean, literally prayed for out loud. You say, well, you know, preacher, it's a different thing for you. You're a preacher. I'm still a man. Amen. I mean, what do you think I do? Sleep in a 3-piece suit or something? I don't, what is that? You know, well, preacher, that's what you swim in, a 3-piece suit, don't you? Oh, no, I would never even think about going swimming. I take a bath, but I take a shower and wash my clothes at the same time. I'm a human being, but you know the hard thing, ma'am? The hard thing is you become too independent. And you become stubborn. And then you know what you do? You get deceived when you get stubborn. You are working independent of Adam. God didn't make you that way. Now, what did he say about the woman? When he made the woman in Genesis chapter number 2, he could put Adam to sleep down there, anesthetize him there, and he took a rib out from him and he created the woman. That means you're created from the man and from the side and all that you say at the wedding thing, to be sheltered over, not the feet to be stomped on and not the head to be lord over him, but to be protected and cared for. Not closely, right? But part of the problem is your job is Aaron and her. He made you for the person of, the purpose of being a helpmeet to your husband, not a boat anchor. Now here's hard. He gets all the glory and you're in the back doing all the work. He gets recognized for everything and you're in the back taking care of him and washing his clothes and keeping things clean and making the meals and doing without him and doing all these other things. And what are you doing? You come to church and you sit there with him and you sing the hymns, and when it comes time for the accolades to be passed out, the man gets recognized and the silent majority, that silent woman, the unsung hero, is just sitting there. And you can do 10 times what that man does and not be recognized and appreciated when he does half of what you do. And you're thinking, that imbecile man, how's that idiot winding up being there? They said one time to Hillary, they said, Hillary, you know, you met Bill and, you know, Bill became president. What if you'd have married your high school sweetheart? She said, then he would have been president. You got to think about that a minute. Men, a lot of you wouldn't be where you were if it wasn't for that woman. I can safely say that. So that ain't what I think. Well, you don't live with her for 40 years. I've lived with her. I know what she's had to put up with. I know me. I know who's holding the fort down when I'm not here. I know. So what the thing is that you have to realize it's not natural for you to not be appreciated for that, but you aren't. You know what he made you to be? He made you to be the greatest thing in all the Bible, a helpmeet. He didn't make you to be independent. He made you to be dependent. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 7 says that you are the weaker vessel. I know you don't believe that, especially with some of the pansies we got nowadays. But God made you that way. Now, men, that means you ought to step up and at least have enough manhood in you that she can not be outdoing you and looking like the man in the household. One of the reasons the woman does everything is because you're lazy and don't do anything. This sermon's not about men. That woman will do circles around you. You don't want to switch off for what she does. But, ma'am, the hardest thing for you to do is to keep doing what God wants you to do and do it without that recognition, without that acknowledgement, without that appreciation, without anything, because it's what pleases God. And that's the hardest thing in the world. Your natural tendency is I want to get rewarded for everything I do. And so you wash clothes and he never says nothing. And you make meals and he never opens his mouth. And birthday comes and oops, he forgot and throws you a card with a $50 bill in it and says, baby, I sure do love you. And you think, well, I sure appreciate you taking the time to think maybe what I would like to have. And anniversary comes and oops, you know what she wants? She wants you to tell her you love her all the time. You say, why? Why wouldn't you want to tell her? Because she wants to hear it from you. Why? Well, she must be doubting you do. And then it comes along here and you're thinking to yourself, somebody that he knows, it's a friend of his, it's a good tight friend of his, he won't miss that guy's birthday or Christmas present for nothing, but he don't even think about his wife, his greatest confidant. He never gives you the time of day and forgets those special holidays, but he'll remember it for his buddy. He'll go out of his way to help his buddy, but he can't get his butt out of bed to help you to do something you want to do. He wants you to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and make him biscuits and eggs and bacon and gravy and all that so he can brag to his buddies before he goes hunting or before he goes fishing or before he goes off on a trip. And he won't get out of bed and do that for you. His job's not a helpmeet. I didn't say it wasn't right for him to do that, but he won't do it. You can't expect him. You say, well, I got one that does it. Well, thank the Lord. How long did it take you to train him? He wasn't born that way. You say, well, we have an agreement. Well, good. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's fine. But I'm simply saying to you, your natural tendency is going to be, I ain't asking him for nothing. He ought to be able to see it. I hate to tell you this. You're going to tell him till his dying day the trash needs to go out. Because you're thinking, well, he should know by now. Well, how's that working out for you? But, ma'am, God made you to be a helpmeet. How's that feel to be made? The highest level you get to is you're a servant. That goes for somebody that's a president and CEO of a corporation. When she comes home, she's supposed to be helping her husband. Man, I'm glad I'm not a woman. I'm being serious. I don't think I could handle it. I think that's harder than being a man. The burden's on you because of your sister Eve. You can have it out with her when you get to glory. Some of you girls, you think you want to get married. Well, how you doing now? You better be careful who you marry. Boy, if you marry some loggerhead turtle, man, you are headed for trouble. You say, yeah, he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. Yeah, maybe now, but once he says I do, you thinking you're going to change him. You ask some of these older women in here, you know what they'll tell you? Well, honey. Well, honey. He might change a little bit, but what you see is pretty much what you get. He don't change that much. Now, if he's a good Christian man, he'll let the Lord work on him. That's seven things that I gave you right there in seven verses that are natural tendencies of women. It doesn't mean you have all of them. They're things that you should just be aware of. You should pay attention to. You should recognize those things are possibilities in my life, and I need to check those things on a regular basis. If I was a woman, I'm not. But if I was, and I wouldn't want to be, but if I was, I would take those seven verses right there and put a note out there to self to check them about once a month to see where your motives are. Now, I'm going to give you men a little bit of help, and if you undermine me on this, then the Lord will have to deal with you. If you have a woman who is willing to do what that Bible says and she tries to make changes that are not natural to her to make with God's help because she recognizes that there's things that I'm doing that are not in line with the Bible even though they're in line with the world, and she makes those changes, God help you if you don't support her and try to help her. If she tries to do what she ought to be doing, you know what you ought to do? You ought to be winding her sails, and man, you ought to take her out to some place besides Burger King or McDonald's. Take her to some place she likes. Some of the women don't like the real fancy places. They just soon go to Bono's. Take her to Bono's. She wants to go to some breakfast house or whatever, take her there and buy her a stack of pancakes. You'd be surprised. She sure will appreciate it. If you got a good woman, you get ready to go to bed tonight. Before you tell the Lord thank you, you get down by your bed and you tell that old girl, you say, I sure do appreciate you putting up with me. I never realized there was so much pressure on you to be the kind of woman Amen. You are. I didn't realize it. Good. I didn't understand it. But I see now that's a difficult thing to do. Now, men, put yourself in that position. You think you could bear that burden? If not, have a little grace. Be kind to them. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says that when you get bitter at your wife, he said he'll hinder your prayers. You say, why? Didn't you know that women are emotional? Come on, ladies, don't look at me like, not me, I ain't emotional. I'll kill you if you think I'm emotional. You ain't emotional, ma'am. You're right. You're not emotional at all. I don't know why that voice is going through the ceiling, but I'm with you. No, you're good. You know what happens? Emotions fluctuate. You let a woman get hurt, that hurt can look a lot like anger. And you're thinking she's mad, and she ain't mad, she's hurt. You know what she wants? She wants somebody that understands you're hurt. At that moment, just a suggestion to you, she don't need correction. It's not compromise to say, talk to me. Help me. I'm giving you future instruction. And you too. You don't get to escape. And you too. And you. And not much hope for y'all. It is not a lower or a secondary position. If it's God's position, it's His perfect will. And sir, if you get in her way of God's perfect will, God will take that out on you because you're not taking care of the weaker vessel. It's that important that you clearly understand she's under enough pressure. She don't need you quoting Proverbs 31 to her to try to bring her in line. Maybe the reason she's not what you think she ought to be is because you ain't what you're supposed to be. Now, I hope that helps you. I know it wasn't as bad as I played it out to be. That was just advertising to get you to go to come here. It's kind of like, I'm already. Oh, man, I already knew that. I got one rougher than that if you want it, but maybe that's enough. Let's stand together and be dismissed.